Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today is the first Sunday in September in East Tennessee, Labor Day weekend. You might be thinking about the two most important things in Labor Day weekend, sports and steak. Or maybe if you like music this weekend, what kind of music do you listen to on Labor Day weekend? Maybe Stars and Stripes Forever by Philip Sousa. Or if you happen to go to the football game this Friday, and if you've lost your cell phone in the bleachers, you might be thinking about smartphone shopping. I'm not naming any names of anybody who might have had that happen to him. But in the scriptures today, God's word would have us think about two other S's, if you will. The Sabbath and sitting in the kingdom of God. The Sabbath and sitting. I'm going to read to you the first part of our text again from Luke chapter 14. On one Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him with dropsy. And Jesus responded to lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. And they took him, Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Thus far the text. To heal or not to heal? That is the question with the three little words on the Sabbath. To heal or to heal, not to heal on the Sabbath? That was the question. And Jesus perceived that these lawyers and Pharisees were trying to test him to see if he were really a righteous man, a righteous law-abiding teacher, or not. The Pharisees' assumption, of course, was that no one should heal on the Sabbath, for healing is work, and work is not Sabbath. And you see, the Pharisees painted a false picture of God, who demands the strictest obedience to Sabbath rest, even at the expense of showing merciful love to your neighbor. And we learn from Jesus that the Pharisees had the wrong picture of God, a false understanding. They were wrong. The people of Israel were worshiping the wrong thing. They worshiped the letter of the law rather than the Spirit of our God who gave the letter. Elsewhere, Jesus says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." So today, let us, as God's people, remember the right thing, the right picture of God and His law. Does God demand Sabbath rest? Yes. But He intends for us to rest in His promise that God will heal us, that He will heal man eternally, so they can rest in the eternal Sabbath. So Jesus was merciful to the man who had dropsy on the Sabbath. He healed the man on the Sabbath. He showed mercy, merciful love on the Sabbath. So we, too, learn to be merciful to our neighbor, even if it breaks the Sabbath law, and rest in the promise of God that He will show ultimate mercy, and He has on His cross, and He has by the open tomb. The other teaching in our text today was about where to sit at a banquet, so of Sabbaths and of sitting. Do we sit in the front or do we sit in the back? To sit up front or to sit in the back is the question, the second part of our text. And where you sit reveals your inner thoughts of greatness. That's what we learn in this text. If you sit in front, you're considered to be really great in your own thoughts. If you sit in back, well, you're lower and you're probably a Lutheran because we know all Lutherans sit in the back. And Jesus is wise about God's standard of greatness, which is different than our own. And so He teaches us in this text today the real greatness. Those who don't think themselves great are the ones God calls the greatest on earth and worthy of the highest places of honor. Why? Because they perceive greatness that comes by grace from God rather than from man's calculations and man's competing with one another. or man's malign calculations of greatness by works, or by money, or social status, or any other thing. Greatness that comes by grace. What a revealing, what a comforting and leveling concept this is from a gracious God who knows our sinful condition. And once we understand and believe that God's greatness comes by grace and not by what we do, by grace, then it changes the way we look at one another. Changes our behavior towards one another. Changes the way and the places that we'll sit. Changes the way we treat and who we invite. Such the parable teaches us today. No longer are we competing for others for greatness. We become gracious ourselves because of our relationship with God. We do things not to be repaid, but to show grace and hospitality, especially to those who cannot repay, just as the parable taught us to do. When we act gracious towards others by faith in God's teaching, God promises us a great reward. He says, "You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." This life, therefore, takes patience and faith to see greatness, faith to see the reward, and patience. You will not see this reward in this lifetime, rather at the resurrection, it says. But that's why we're gathered here today, are we not? To hear about this teaching from Jesus' word. For he was humble and gracious to all, and he died, yes, but he rose in the resurrection and says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." God gave us a picture of the resurrection in Christ Jesus. His word teaches us, therefore, to have a new relationship with others, to be gracious to others and invite those who cannot repay us, knowing that you will be repaid in the resurrection. In our Old Testament lesson today from Proverbs 25, it said, "It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings to search things out." God concealed his heavenly reward in the dying and rising of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And that word says, we are kings when we search these things out. Who of us wants to be a king? Wouldn't that be great? You are one by grace, through faith in Christ, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who is our brother, who died for you and rose for you, that you might be a king and search out things in his word and have the treasure and know that it comes in the resurrection of the just, those who believe by faith, those who wait and are patient and are gracious and do things not for a reward here on earth, but do it for a reward in the heavenly places, in the resurrection of the just. So on Labor Day on East Tennessee, some are going to be thinking about sports and steak, others about stars and stripes. But may you think about the Sabbath and of sitting and ask, did Jesus really heal on the Sabbath? And answer, yes. And he heals us today by his word, the Sabbath, and by the supper in which he gives to us life, salvation, healing for all of our sins. Did Jesus teach us where to sit at a banquet? Yes. Does he care about our etiquette at banquets? No. But he cares about how we think of ourselves. Do we think of ourselves as great by what we do? Or do we think of ourselves as great because of God's grace and his love and his mercy for us in Christ? His cross is open too. So now we can sit at the lowest places of honor. We can humble ourselves. We can invite those who cannot repay. We can be gracious and know in God's word the promise that we will be rewarded at the resurrection of the just. May the Holy Spirit seal to your hearts these words, keep you in the faith until life everlasting. Be gracious. Invite others. Trust that God heals on the Sabbath. And he has shown ultimate mercy in his Son. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.